It's time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every heart, every woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every heart, every woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. Before we jump into our interview for today, we're going to set the tone with a little bit of live music. Sit back and enjoy. Welcome back, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I'm the host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. Our show is a program of Love Ministries, a 501c3 nonprofit. You can find more information about Love Ministries on their website, loveministriesbuilds.org. And I am very excited to jump into our show today. As always, I have my good friend Vicki McMurray here as co-host. Welcome, Vicki.
Thank you, Carla.
Well, we are going to laugh a lot today,
we
right?
We are.
We're going to laugh a lot, and we want to have more laughs than these guys
yes,
here.
Okay? Yes, we do.
Because we don't want them to have more laughs at us. We want to have more laughs.
Good luck.
At them. We won't need luck. We have skill, right?
We do have skill.
Fist bump.
We do.
There we go.
Fist bump, sister.
So we have our husbands joining us on our radio show today. Dr. Roosevelt Nivens is my husband of how many years, Dr. Roosevelt?
18.
I'm testing him, y'all. 18 is correct.
Ding, ding, ding.
Very good, very good, very good. So Dr. Nivens is the superintendent of Community ISD, and we have, so we're out there in community having a great time. We follow the Lord there, and we have two beautiful children. They are teenagers. They're good kids, right?
Oh, they're great kids. They're my kids, so they're great kids.
There we go. They're Nivens kids. They're good kids. So thank you for being here with us today, Roosevelt.
Well, thank you. And it's very nice for you, for me to be on the show.
Oh, my goodness. See? Already started.
It has started.
Okay, Vicki, Your turn.
It's my turn. So I'm excited to introduce my sweet husband, Tim McMurray. Tim, how long have we been married?
15 in December.
That's right.
Woo-hoo! 105 in dog years.
105 in dog years. Some days it feels that way. Not always. And Tim is the athletic director at Texas A&M Commerce. So we live out in the east side of Dallas as well. We're out in Commerce, and we as well have followed the Lord there. And it's been a lot of fun and lots of neat things that we get to do being a part of athletics.
Yeah. And how many...
I have two girls from a previous marriage, so Tim is super stepdad.
Yeah, super stepdad. He has a cape and everything, right?
He does.
All right. So we are going. Well, welcome, Tim. We didn't give you a chance to. Don't say anything funny. Don't.
It just rolls off naturally. Very nice to be here. Thank you guys for having us.
Yes, yeah, so we are very excited for our guys to join us. We are going to start with some rapid fire questions, right?
We are.
Okay. So we're going to see if they know our favorites. So I'll start with Roosevelt over here.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So you can't think. You just got to rapid fire them out. Rapid fire them out. You're going down.
Are you asking me these things? You're asking me.
I'm asking you
and then I will
these
ask
questions.
You?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, do you get to ask me? I don't know. We'll decide. We'll see how good you do.
Who decides? Right. You decide?
Yeah. Well, the host.
It's her show. Right?
The host.
It's her
show. Yes. The host and co-host run this little shindig.
Right.
Okay, Roosevelt, here we go. Rapid fire questions. What is my favorite color?
Butter.
Is that right a color?
Or wrong? There we go. Well, our wedding
colors are butter and Bordeaux. You just should say yellow and red, but it was butter and Bordeaux.
It's like exactly that shade. The shade of butter.
So I was trying to figure, is it margarine butter? Is it ketchup crock butter? What kind of butter is this?
Yeah,
man,
kind of
that was impressive. That?
I'm not sure. It's just butter.
I think I know my answer, but that's impressive.
Butter.
Okay, that is correct. Okay, what is my favorite song or favorite song right now?
Well, you didn't qualify by saying right now, but your favorite song is Amazing Grace, which you sang with your grandmother some years ago in Chicago.
There we go. That's good. I don't even know if I know my favorite song, but that's a good answer.
Well, I know it.
That might be what I would say.
I'm going to get clocked in this game.
Okay, Roosevelt, what would be my favorite vacation spot?
Anywhere you are with me without the kids.
Oh, brilliant. You two are way too much alike. It scares me.
I was going to say with water. You know, we love the beach.
Anywhere you are with me without
okay.
the kids.
Okay, well, let's go with
that's
that.
That's the answer.
Okay, all right.
I love you, Roosevelt.
Or anywhere with water. And what has been my favorite date that you
favorite?
And I have had? This is a good question.
That's easy. That's any restaurant that's vegan.
That's a good answer.
Ooh, I know it is.
He just has this look.
He doesn't want to be wrong, so he's just like, I'm right in all of my answers.
I am a doctor, remember that.
He's really not taking himself that seriously, folks.
Oh, my goodness. And I specifically love our first date, remember?
I do remember. We went to see Mulan.
We went to see Mulan.
The Disney movie, because you tried to test me to see if I'd be willing to go see an animated movie.
At noon.
But I'm a superhero fan at heart.
He still goes to see those.
I still go see all the superhero movies.
Yeah, he passed the test.
Way to go.
You wore a black Texas Tech shirt with some jeans that you look so adorable in.
Aww.
What are you doing to me here, man? What are you doing?
Sorry. Sorry.
Tim, you're going to be fine. I'm not even worried about this. You're going to ace this baby. We might have a few less years on them, but we got this, hun. I think you know. What is my favorite color?
Purple.
Da-da-da-da.
All right.
Ding, 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 ding. I just told you my favorite song right now is?
Endless Love.
Reckless Love.
All right.
Endless Love is good, too.
I'm sorry. I was thinking about
my Endless Love.
You were thinking about
me.
Lionel Richie.
No.
Diana Ross.
Well, maybe it was Lionel
Richie. Lionel Richie.
But I love anything Lionel Richie, so that, yeah. that's a great answer. That's a good answer.
Yes. Because we deflected my wrong answer.
No, there was no wrong answer, because I like all music, basically. All right, what's my favorite vacation spot? We were just there 2 weeks ago.
Where were we two weeks ago?
Let me use the Disney teleport back to the past. Hawaii.
Yes.
Woo-hoo.
Yes.
Y'all went with the volcano?
No, we went
to the southern Kauai. So we were south of the volcano.
Y'all are adventurous. Okay.
We were. We went kayaking and catamaraning where I threw up
lava
for 5 hours.
Oh, no.
Yes, it was bad news on the catamaran. But that was Tim's favorite thing he's ever done. It was my least. And what do you think my favorite date of us has been? There's a lot.
Yeah, I'll go back to our first one, mm-hmm. the grist mill.
Mm-hmm.
We sat outside overlooking the Guadalupe River.
We did.
We had fun. We played a game of who'd been in the most states.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
A friendly argument.
Yeah. No, it wasn't even an argument. It was tracking through trips, which led to stories, which
right.
I don't think we ever actually finished the game, but we told a bunch of stories. So.
Yeah.
It was. Right. It was a great date. High five, baby. You nailed it.
Husbands one, wives zero.
Oh
my goodness. Okay. We win all the time, right?
I know.
We win every day.
Winners. You do.
Shouldn't that be a good time to introduce who's better at logistics and planning?
No.
Okay, we'll save it for later.
No.
It is their show.
We'll let them have it.
What?
No, go ahead. We'll save that for later.
We'll let them have it.
We gotta have a trump card.
Stop. Both of you stop looking at me. I know that.
And adding questions to our questions. We're the host and the co-host.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's keep rolling.
You want to keep rolling?
Yes.
So do we want to let them ask us those questions?
Sure. We can try to answer.
Okay, sure. Go ahead.
Ask us our favorite color.
Dr. Roosevelt Nivens.
All right. So what is my favorite color?
Blue and gold. Black and gold. Sorry. Black and gold.
Well, yes. Which one?
Oh.
Both of those are.
You named two for her. Well, you said butter, and then you did say
what? Well, wedding colors are butter. But yeah, but blue and gold right now because
of community.
That's the colors of my school district.
There we go. Greatest, almost said that.
Greatest
Black
place
and gold,
on earth.
But blue and gold.
Greatest right. place on earth.
Yep.
And my favorite song?
This one I do not know, but I do know your favorite artist. His name is escaping me right now.
Wow.
He's an R&B. Help me out. He's an R&B guy that passed.
My favorite artist is Carla Nivens.
His favorite artist is Gerald Levert.
Yes. It's Gerald Levert.
Gerald Levert. And we went to go see him live in a show. He was excellent.
I did. I said the first lady that took me to see Gerald Levert live, I was going to marry.
There we go. And I married her.
I married her. But it's a song called Baby Hold On To Me, which you better do. And it's by Gerald Levert.
All right, I'm going to have to look that song up. It might be in my new top 10.
Oh, your new playlist. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, then you got one more?
Two more. I have two more. So my favorite vacation spot.
This is going to be hard, too. I'm going to say anywhere with water. I'm going to say beach vacations are your favorite.
It's anywhere with you.
That's very sweet.
Yeah.
But you do love beach vacations. We both love beach vacations. Well, we sit down and do nothing.
Yeah, I'm not saying I don't love beach vacations. I'm just saying we could be somewhere. As long as I'm with you, I'm good.
Okay. I'll take that answer.
All right. Good
answer. And then my favorite date?
Your favorite date. It might be the Gerald Levert concert. Are you giving me a hint?
I'm trying to.
I don't know what the hint is.
The place you absolutely hate that I go to.
Oh.
The place? Yes. To get those... it's a restaurant to get those
fortune cookies. Is that what
crab
he was saying?
Crab legs.
Yes, he likes to break the crab legs, and the place is very smelly, y'all. And then his clothes come back.
Oh,
smelling like.
Just reminds me of breaking bones when you break those.
Oh my goodness!
What?
I am a football player.
Yeah, I was going to say he is an ex football player, so we're going to quantify that.
Offensive lineman.
Yes, please do qualify.
Offensive
that right
lineman.
Now.
And we're the smartest ones on the field. So all the big boys out there just know we're the smartest ones on the field.
We need to have our football team listen to Roosevelt.
That's right.
That's great.
Okay, did I pass?
You did well. You passed. Flying colors.
Okay, good deal.
All right.
Okay, Tim.
All right, dear heart. Favorite color?
I think it's green.
It is green. Hunter green.
Very good. All right.
Hunter green.
Yes. I almost said Hunter green, but That takes me to the 90s, so I'm going to stick with green.
Favorite song?
It's either going to... Now, I have to say, I did ask him this because he loves music and listens to a variety of things at any other time. So I don't really know how to nail it down. And then he tried to tell me, well, it's two artists. There's two songs I love of two artists that we've heard them in concert. I'm like, oh, my goodness, we've heard so many people in concert.
Right.
But so I did cheat. Okay. And I did talk to him about it because I was curious. So Piano Man, Billy Joel, would be one of them.
Oh, yeah.
And Born in the USA, Bruce Springsteen.
Born to Run.
Oh, Born to Run. Sorry. Born in the USA is the name of the album, right? Mm-hmm. Wasn't it? Okay, good.
Okay.
Bruce Springsteen. So yeah. I kind of cheated on that. Just because that was a great question. I was curious.
It's very broad, right?
Yes. Okay, what's the next
vacation
one?
Vacation spot.
Favorite vacation. I believe you like the beach because we've gone on many beach vacations. So I'm going to say the mm-hmm. beach.
In Napa Valley, Northern California.
Oh, Napa Valley. Yeah. Yes, that would be your favorite. Yes, Northern we like California. The wine country.
Oh, but, nice.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, fun.
And our favorite date?
I think our first date might be our favorite date because that was,
you got
it was
it.
Just fun as we were getting to know each other.
Good job.
Very nice.
High five.
Very nice. All right,
we survived the lightning round.
Okay, we
survived. As far as we know,
y'all are sweating a little.
No blood in studio.
Only sweating because it's hot in here.
I know it is hot in here.
All these skinny people.
Yeah.
Oh, stop.
I was like, I don't know if
we're
we've
all
ever
people,
had a,
and it's hot in here. Period. Guess,
yeah. Complain about the hotness, yeah. But okay. Let's do some get to know you things so that I mean we know the answers to these questions, but our listeners who are very sweet and have joined us week after week and also listen to our podcast and mm-hmm. all those kinds of things. These are the things that the questions that. They were kind of wondering, and we want to just kind of answer those for them. First question being, and the two of you all can answer it,
all
Vicky
right.
and
we'll
Tim.
Go first.
How did you all meet?
Do you want to answer it or me?
Go ahead.
Okay. We met at work. We met at, it's now Texas State University, but it was Southwest Texas State University when we met. Okay. They were going through the name change. I was the director of development for the College of Education there.
Oh.
And Tim was the senior associate athletic director.
Associate athletic director
at Texas State. And we were both displaced from our buildings at the moment. So we had been placed in offices next door to each other because we worked out of the same division. And so we met the second or third day of the new year of 2001.
Two. 2002.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I believe him.
That's good. I'm not going to say dates on mine because I'll.
Yes. I knew it was somewhere around there.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. So I didn't know that's where you all met. Yes. I knew you worked there, but I didn't know Vicky.
I did. I had left teaching and was given an awesome opportunity by the dean of the College of Education there.
Yeah.
And had just been there a couple of days when I met Tim.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
So you all had offices kind of by
literally
each other.
Next door to each other.
Literally next door
yes.
to each other. So y'all were talking.
After
back
five.
And forth.
Yeah, after five, we'd kind of bounce in and talk to each other. And frankly, we were both, at that time, coming out of our previous marriages. So mm-hmm. the last thing we were looking for was another relationship.
Yeah.
It's true. And after,
we differently.
And after about 3 months of chatting and a couple of times having pretty serious, we went and had lunch one day and both kind of told each other our life stories and got to know each other a little bit. And we decided to give dating a try, and here we are, 15 years later.
There we go. Very cool. Very cool. Okay, so, Dr. Roosevelt, well, I don't know if I like how you tell this story, so maybe I should tell it.
It's your show.
How we met. He always adds different things in there that are questionable. But you want to start? I'll just detract stuff from your side of the story.
Well, we met on a summer job.
Mm-hmm.
I was a rookie teacher, and we met on a summer job, and I would take my students to her class.
Yes.
And she taught them music. Yes. I was a counselor at the camp, and my boys would come back and say, Coach Nivens, Miss Carla stares at you every time you walk by the window.
That part right there.
And I said, for real? And they said, yeah, you got to ask her out. So I did. I asked her out, And I asked her how old she was, and she said she was 22. And I said, she's too young for me. I don't want to fool with her. So I never asked for her number. And then a couple of days later, she came to me and said, so you want my number or what? What are we going to do? What you going to do?
That
and so we
true.
Went out on the first date, and we've been together ever since.
There we go.
You go, Carla.
But he won't tell how he would come to, he would bring his boys to my class, to the room, and he'd sit back there and make jokes and, like,
does that surprise
disrupt,
you?
And I would have to put him out. And, you
but
know,
it's your
I
show.
Like,
that's why he's not talking about him. Well, he's talking about you.
Well, that's right. Thank you, Tim.
Well, he's leaving stuff out that said
such
I was
a great man.
Staring at him. Yes, I was staring at him. I'm like, why are you always cutting up
Tim
in my
class? Tim is my brother from another mother.
So I have to put you out. So that's right. We went on one day. I did. I had to charge you up, as they say, or people from our generation says. I don't know what people say now. I had to charge him up.
You had to charge him up. Never heard that before.
Yeah.
I had to charge him up. But I'm older.
Like, get my number. What you going to do? What are we going to do? Okay. So we have more. It's kind of like.
We haven't even barely touched anything.
We have a lot of questions that we're probably not going to get to. But let's take a break. Y'all are both looking, you know, like, so what's going to happen? Is it okay to take a break, guys?
Yes.
Okay.
It's your show.
Okay. We're going to take a break. I like that answer. Let's take a break, and then we'll be back.
Every heart, every woman. Every heart, every woman.
You're listening to Every Heart, Every Woman, the show where women find balance, peace, and inspiration. Now let's get back to the show with your host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome back to the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. My name is Carla Nivens. I'm your host, actually. And I have my good friend Vicki McMurray here co-hosting.
I think I'm the co-host. Thank you. Good to be here.
I was already about to point to you.
Yes, it's all good.
My mind there. Okay, so we have our husbands. We have our guys.
We do have our guys, our main squeezes.
Yes, with us today, Dr. Roosevelt Nivens and Tim McMurray. And we've had a wonderful time chatting with you all and allowing you all to answer questions. You all have done great so far, so I think we'll let them continue, right?
We will. They're doing great.
Yeah, let's continue. So, did you say thank you?
I said thank you.
Okay, we're good. So, we'd like to ask you guys, what, thinking about the world today, both of you all are work in industries where you are for children, you're working to, you know, get our children to the best place that they can possibly get once they leave your institutions. So what, we were wondering, what troubles you all about the world today?
You want to go? You and I have talked about this a little bit, actually. Mine, without question, is the screen replaces this.
Mm-hmm. He's pointing to his eyes.
That we don't make eye contact, mm-hmm. that children don't, you know, at a certain age. I mean, even getting them at the 18 to 22-year-old stage where I get them and our profession gets them in higher education versus what Dr. Nivens gets them in their formative years, mm-hmm. I really worry about the ability for them to communicate orally effectively and to become productive citizens. Now, I'm sure when we were all growing up, we had rotary dial phones and push-button phones in our house, and when cell phones came out, I'm sure our parents thought it was the end of the free world, but I do think that communication piece is really, really important because there is enough strife and, you know, whether it's political or social or Christian faith-based issues, I think that foundational ability to communicate is a real concern for me.
Right. Yeah, and I think Vicki and I, we've talked a little bit about our kids, mm-hmm. Our young people, and the screen and social media. You know, we're constantly teaching our children how to communicate things, I guess, that came a little easier to us in our generation.
Right.
We're teaching them how to go up to people and talk to them and get to know get to know. Don't jump from point A to point Z.
Right.
There's some stuff in the middle. You got to know.
Right.
Know people.
And I do think that's sort of the blessing of both our husbands' careers, because our kids are introduced to people all the time in mm-hmm. different scenarios mm-hmm. and have over the years. And that basic social skill of being able to look somebody in the eye and greet them and be able to even chit-chat for a moment. You're, mm-hmm. you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to do that, but just to have that moment. Because we had somebody over at our house a week or so ago, and they stayed late, and we were chatting. And she wanted to include my daughter in the conversation, but she had her face in the phone. Mm-hmm. And she didn't even realize, I mean, she didn't realize that this woman wanted to include her, because mm-hmm. she just assumed adult-to-adult conversation.
Right.
But she kept looking over at her. And so it led to a great conversation the next morning about how you kept looking at your phone when somebody wanted to include you, that they found value in you participating.
Right.
Instead of just checking out.
Yes.
Yes.
Those life lessons. We talk
about
that all the time. Our kids our kids get on us all the time about those life lessons. Like, now we can discuss this. Okay, Roosevelt, what worries you, what troubles you about the world today?
Well, a lot troubles me, but also along with Tim here, with communication, the other thing that troubles me is our young people do not know how to handle disappointment. They struggle when someone tells them no, mm-hmm. and they struggle when they're not accepted. And they have to understand that they have to accept themselves first.
Mm-hmm.
And when you try to seek acceptance from someone else and it doesn't happen, then they don't know how to handle that, and then they go out into the world and they harm themselves or harm others.
Right.
And so until our young people understand that they have to love themselves first unconditionally,
mm-hmm.
then we'll continue to see the struggles that we see in our young people today.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I would intentionally disappoint our kids growing up.
He does.
And so there were days I would bring a gift home for my daughter and nothing for my son.
Mm-hmm.
And he would be like, well, where's mine? I said, well, today's not your day, son. You'd be happy for your sister.
Right.
Today's not your day. That's not how life works. When she gets something, you don't automatically get something.
Right.
And so now my kids can handle no, because we tell them no all the time.
Mm-hmm.
and they can handle disappointment. So when they go out in the real world, they'll be okay, and they'll be able to make it in life. You know, life is very tough.
It's very tough.
And I tell our kids, mommy and I make this look easy, but life's mm-hmm. not easy. Life is full of disappointments and decisions and heartache and ups and downs. And you have to dust yourself off, get up, and keep going.
You do.
And we don't quit.
Right.
No.
And so that's what troubles me with our young people today. A lot are quitters. And so I'm using my position to change that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that snow cone and participation ribbon mentality, right?
Don't get me started on that.
Not everybody gets one. I mean, you just don't. I know what we spend on scoreboards collectively.
Right.
We're going to keep score.
Right.
Someone will lose.
Right, right.
If you didn't win, guess what? You lost.
You lost.
Right, 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 right. There's no second place.
And so just be able to handle that.
Yeah, yeah. That's good.
That's very good.
Are there any other ways that you all would recommend parents that are listening today to teach their kids to be able to handle the word no, or to be able to handle loss?
Yes. So our parents, today's parents, are eager to be their child's best friend mm-hmm. instead of being the mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so until we understand that, again, we'll continue to have the struggle. So I would say when you're a parent and there's something that your child wants to do and you don't think it's in their best interest, you should have the nerve to say no.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot do that.
Yes.
And you can explain it, but sometimes it doesn't need an explanation. Sometimes your kid does what you say do because I said do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one thing I would say is be the parent. Say no. Don't allow your child to do anything and everything because it makes them happy.
Mm-hmm.
Life is not about being happy all the time.
Agreed.
Yeah.
As he says this with a big smile on his face.
I love that.
That's true.
I love that example of, you know, organized disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great piece
organized
of advice.
Disappointment, man. Tim is smart.
I know,
organized
that's a
disappointment.
Good, right.
I do. But you're the one that did it.
I'm gonna use that.
So that organized
Tim.
Disappointment is a really important thing that I don't think happens enough,
mm-hmm.
Especially because there are so many distractions. We had distractions growing up. The difference is you couldn't put it on your iPad or your iPhone and.
Right.
Share it with the world.
Right.
I think the biggest misnomer is that whoever coined the phrase social media, most of the time there's nothing very social about it. It's really just
it's lonely. Here peek
into my life, or I'm making up for some shortcoming in my life by calling out other people or inviting you into my shortcomings. There's nothing social about it. Social media, that sounds cool and like catchy marketing term, but there's nothing a lot of times social about it. I just think we've got to do something to reverse that. That the level of engagement that social media defines our youth.
Yeah, and I just imagine people that do that have self-acceptance issues. And they point fingers at other people because I don't want you looking in my life, really, because I have a whole lot of skeletons in my closet. But you have to learn to accept yourself and love yourself, regardless of what anybody says.
Because we all have skeletons. We talk about
that
all the time.
We talk about that a lot.
You know, right. There's no 100% clean. We're perfect.
And no one's putting it out there on social media. Let me tell you how messed up my day is today or how messed up my decisions have been. Or, you know, it is. It's all about picking yourself up and dusting yourself off and persevering and knowing whose you are. And it's social media is, you know, I use it, but I totally understand what you're saying.
Well, I always say that I'm not even sure our teenagers are at the level in life to be able to even use social media. I don't even know if it's for children. You know?
It's really not.
You have to have a
children.
License to drive a car. You don't have to have one to post.
And you can just do whatever, say whatever, put it out there.
And there's almost that safety of doing that because you don't have to really ever tell somebody to their face how you really feel, or, you know, it's this fake audience, really, in my opinion.
I call that digital courage.
Oh, that's a strong.
They can hide behind
digital courage.
That's digital courage.
It is digital courage. It's almost like the same thing with email. You can say just about anything when you push send with that email, but you might not have had the nerve to say it to their face.
I guarantee.
But the email has an IP address tied to it. The digital courage can be. It doesn't have to be your picture. It definitely doesn't have to be your name. You can create a completely fake identity.
That's true. People
on social media.
That's true.
And you know, I think it's that. I don't know how much you deal with this. I'm sure you guys do, but you know, I've had meetings with athletes specifically about their social media profile. Not because I'm trying to discipline or control what they do. We live in the greatest country in the free world, But your right to express yourself doesn't give you the right to embarrass yourself or the institution. And frankly, and I tell them this, look, this is just a friendly advice reminder. If we're looking at it and your teammates and your friend group are looking at it, let me tell you something. That place you want to intern in Rockwall or Dallas or Houston or back home, wherever you're from,
they're definitely looking at it.
And they monitor it, and they have whole teams in some of these corporations and now even school districts that look at before they hire teachers and before they hire interns and accountants and whatever the profession might lend itself to.
And that can make a difference between the yes or the no you get.
Absolutely.
Yes, you can work here, and no, your messiness is too much for
I've had to terminate individuals because of social media, and I have not extended job offers to individuals because of their social media.
There you go, right there.
That's serious. So this leads us into our next question. How do you all honor the Lord, honor God with your work?
Well, my whole purpose in life is to ensure that young people are set up for success in their future. That's my legacy. That's the legacy my daddy gave me, and that's the legacy I'm going to carry on.
That's true.
And so I just love working with young people. And so I do that just by showing them not only that education is the key, but also I want young people to see how to be a loving husband, a loving father, a loving Christian man. I just want to live that whole life to them and be the example to them. Some of our young people don't have that example. And so I want to be that example where they can see at least someone in their life that is a godly man that's not afraid to kiss his daughter on the cheek in front of everybody, not afraid to tell his wife that he loves him in front of everybody, not afraid to hug his son or kiss his son on the cheek in front of everybody, and also understand that education is the key, the absolute key. You know, I believe in education.
I know you do.
I like that answer a lot. I'll say this, and believe me, it's the only time that you'll put Tim McMurray and Mother Teresa in the same sentence because it's opposite end of the spectrum. But
wow, that's pretty bold there.
But her, no, but her quote, or you know, her quote about when about what she does in life as a vocation. Mm-hmm. I've never in 29 years I've had two great blessings. I've been going to college for 29 years. They've given me a couple of degrees along the way, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. I've worked on a college campus or lived on a college campus for 29 years. The other piece of it, I haven't gone to a job a day in my life. I go mm-hmm. to a vocation.
Yeah.
Because the definition of vocation, like Mother Teresa, is you have a passion for serving others.
Right.
And those others, they stay 18 to 22, or, you know, in your case, 6 to 18. We keep getting older.
Pre-K. Yeah, pre-K babies. Pre-K babies.
Yeah, pre-K, pre-K to 18. So we keep getting older. But what happens that when we get them, I mean, public education gets it right because they really make every effort to not filter out anybody, whether mm-hmm. you have a disability, whether you have a discipline problem, whether you have a domestic issue. Right. They don't filter out. I think in higher education, we should be a pump, not a filter. Mm-hmm. And you know, unfortunately, whether it's finances, whether it's academic ability, whether it's various social circumstances, at some point you have to filter those people out. Mm-hmm. But the ones that we do get, and the thing I really like, we've talked about this, Dr. Nivens and I have talked about this, you know, having worked at some larger Division I schools, Maryland, SMU, Northern Illinois, the kid that SMU's recruiting has a little bit different profile mm-hmm. than the kid at A&M Commerce, mm-hmm. but the Olympic sport athlete at Texas A&M Commerce is actually working a lot harder because chances are they've got student loans, they've got debt, they've right. got some other things that may not always be a hurdle for mm-hmm. some of these other kids. Mm-hmm. And so in terms of glorifying God, one thing, and I toe the line on this at the risk of having been warned by my president before, I allow every coach to pray in their locker room, to pray with mm-hmm. their team. Mm-hmm. Our football coach, when he meets recruits, says that you have to be three things. You have to be a good husband, you have to be a good coach, and you have to be a good Christian. Hmm. And at a public, you know, that's a little dangerous to mm-hmm. say because mm-hmm. what if we are recruiting a student-athlete that's not of a Christian background and our president's asked, would you have him switch it to men of faith? And I said, I will ask him. I will not require him. Mm-hmm. So, in a sense, I'm an accomplice to technically breaking a law, but it's one I feel pretty strongly about.
Mm-hmm. And I would think that any parent that is contemplating sending their child, even if their background wasn't Christian, I think I would appreciate that.
He's a man of character. Yes.
What that means is, okay,
yeah.
I can trust this.
And that's
this,
a good point. That's
coach.
What I roll the dice on, yeah. while we're not yeah. going to get called too bad on that.
And I feel bad earlier when I was introducing Tim. I just have to add this right now. Is we won the national championship in football this Woo-hoo. Last year. So we're talking about a coach.
Go Lions.
That's right. Go mm-hmm. Lions. Your alma mater as well.
Yeah.
Two times.
Yes. That's right.
Yes.
So just to throw that in there, because Colby is a man of character, and I'm so grateful that Tim does support him and and how he likes to recruit our guys.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, let me ask you, ask the guys this. Is there anything, because I know that this time of year, some moms are like me. I'm never ready for the kids to go back to school. Some moms are. They're busy preparing. I'm trying to push the date back. Mm-hmm. But for the moms that are on top of it and are preparing for the next school year already, I would love for you all to talk about what the moms should be doing to prepare their children for the new school year.
Well, for anything pre-K through 12 especially, I would just like our parents to talk to the students about their mindset and getting their minds ready to go back to school and being prepared to be a partner with the school district. Mm-hmm. So often we have adversarial roles. We have parents and students who believe that things should not happen and things should happen a certain way. And we want to change that mindset to be a partner with the school district. Mm-hmm. All of us know our students. All of us know our children. And we know what they will and won't do. Mm-hmm. And so when you get that call about little Johnny, it's not the school's fault. It's not your fault. What we should do is partner up to see what can we do to help Johnny be a successful young man. Mm-hmm. And when he gets out of high school and he goes to Texas A&M Commerce, what can we do now to help prepare him so he can graduate from Texas A&M Commerce? Mm-hmm. And then he can go in life and be a positive, young, productive citizen. So we need to talk to our children about their future and about how to be a partner and their mindset and how to go to school and get what you need out of it and be able to accept disappointment.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yeah, that's good. And we do talk to our children about that.
All the time.
All the time.
They laugh. They say, everything's always a life lesson with y'all.
Right.
It is. It is. Good. You're going to get out of my house. Good. You're going to get out of my house.
That should make mom and dad high five.
Right.
I think using athletic vernacular, but switching it over to that faith-based approach to helping them make good decisions. We started this last summer, ironically, with every sport program. In 2015, when we started and built out our administrative team and coaches, we talked about making good decisions. Mm-hmm. We elevated it to the next year, let's make great decisions. And last summer, maybe somewhat fortuitously, we changed that to let's make championship decisions. Mm-hmm. And I really think, as you, from our perspective with moms that are, you know, about to send son or daughter to A&M Commerce or mm-hmm. some other fine institution of higher learning, talk about what those championship decisions look like. And one example I come back to is we started this year really pleased with it, four levels of first year, second year, third year, and fourth year experience within our Lion Leadership Academy. So our student athletes, first year self-nominated by coaches, moving forward will be an application process. Mm-hmm. You know, first year they're getting things like balancing a checkbook or financial management, and you'd be amazed. We had our senior director of accounting on campus and our CFO in athletics jointly lead that session. And if you make $1,000 on your paycheck, why it's only $680 or $720, you'd be amazed how many 18, 19-year-olds in that room had no clue because mom and dad maybe just weren't talking about it. Or, you know, I think parents sometimes get intimidated to talk finances. And my retort back, having watched, in all seriousness, now 29 years of freshman classes, being one back in 1988, mm-hmm. and then also now leading, hopefully guiding and mentoring them, that's the exact problem. You shouldn't be intimidated.
Right.
You know, as a parent, by and large, maybe not always, but as a parent, you have some money. Or even if you don't have money, you have experience with money.
Right.
And don't be intimidated to have those good Christian, heartfelt, championship, metaphorically, decisions, mm-hmm. conversation with them, because I think there's so much they don't know. And so I think about that, what if that kid hadn't gone through that session on that? Or what if we hadn't done a resume session to help them clean up? You know, some of them didn't, you know, I came across a person this year that didn't even know the value of a cover letter. Mm-hmm. And we had to sit and talk with them about that and try to explain it. That you have to sell yourself. So those type of things have to permeate, and somebody has to be that backbone mm-hmm. at home, and that's where I think moms can really make a difference.
Yeah, that's good. That's all really good things that I'm just thinking that moms are going to take in and thought, oh, okay, I didn't think about that.
Right.
Okay, I didn't think about that. Let me write that down. Let me ask you all very quickly, because sometimes dads, we even moms, may not talk about the things that we have to overcome in life or in our jobs. Mm-hmm. So really quickly, can you just give us an example of some things that you've had to overcome that young people can hear and find encouragement and inspiration from?
Well, for me, it's kind of the same thing. For me, is becoming a superintendent is a very public role. And our lives are very public. Everybody knows where we live. They know what cars we drive. They know my kids. They know my wife. Mm-hmm. They reported to me on the structure of our house being built.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, oh, they laid the cement today. Y'all see that?
Yes.
Yeah, we did.
Yes. Carla and I have talked a lot about this, yes. too.
So it's a very public life, which we're okay with.
Right.
But we're in a great setting. One thing I had to understand.
And we have nothing to hide.
No,
we don't have anything to hide. Life's too short to be hiding stuff. Mm-hmm. One thing I can say that I had to think about overcoming was we recently passed a bond election in 2017 to build a new high school. The community passed it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so there are a lot of people out there that really supported that. One thing I had to overcome was the individuals that did not support it.
Mm-hmm.
And I took it personal because I couldn't understand why you did not want your child to be in a brand new school,
mm-hmm.
and have every opportunity afforded to them that other school districts give their kids.
Right.
And I took it personal because, like I said, my whole life mission is to make sure young people are set up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to. That was something that I had to deal with and pray about personally,
mm-hmm.
because I just couldn't understand why you don't want our children to be successful. And finally, I just had to give it to the Lord and just let it go,
mm-hmm.
and just depend on the others that were supporting us. But that was a issue that I had to deal with, mm-hmm. recently.
Yeah.
Did I answer the question?
Yeah, that's it. That's a great answer.
All right.
Yeah, this is a really good one. Had me think several different angles on it. I think the challenge that you may not always see is a little bit what Dr. Nivens talked about, just managing that whole circle.
Mm-hmm.
There's student athletes, there's coaches, there's parents in some sports, there's outside family members that think Junior's going to the NFL, so they want to get their hand in the pocket.
Right.
Even
right.
at A&M Commerce, you know, where we've got, we're going to have a couple of kids every year now that compete in NFL camps where Coach Carthel's built it. So you've got that. You've got campus constituents. You've got faculty. You've got staff. You've got alumni. You've got community people that, are maybe the 10-cent millionaires. They don't have the funds to donate, but they have the opinions to donate.
Right, there we go.
So there's so many people in that circle. And then, by the way, we hadn't even talked about, hopefully every morning, the Lord above,
mm-hmm.
that we
mm-hmm.
spend time with him. That's frankly my biggest challenge, is how to balance it, because the first thing to do is to pick up and start checking email or reading listservs and responding.
Right.
Well, I've really tried to be more intentional the last several months because I got away from it a little bit during our athletic year, was starting the day and finishing the day with God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really, that's a challenge for me on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, he doesn't ask us to be perfect, but I try to remember he asks us to be present.
Yes.
And that's a challenge for me.
Yeah. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. Well, thank you all. We could continue talking.
Yes.
We even have more questions.
We do.
We had a closing game. We were going to beat you all.
We were going to whoop you.
Closing game.
Well, we can say that now.
Now we're just into the fantasy part of the show.
Yeah.
We're
running out of time, so whatever. Yeah.
No, so to say all that, just to say, we would love to have you all back.
Yes, we will.
And preferably your schedules will work out and we can have you all back again. But thank you all so much, Dr. Roosevelt Nivens and Tim McMurray, for joining us on the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. And thank you for your love and support as we take this journey, Vicki and I, together to do this radio show. We really feel the call of God, so we appreciate you guys.
Well, can I say, Tim and I talk often, and we are so proud of the two of you.
Aww. Absolutely.
For doing this. You guys make it look easy. You sound great.
Thank you.
And we're very proud of you. He and I were texting the other day and was like, man, we need to stop what we're doing so we can just be stay-at-home dads and support y'all.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, yeah. We're very proud of y'all.
Well, you're very kind. Yes. We love you both.
Yes, yeah. Very sweet. Thank you all. Every Heart, Every Woman radio show is a program of Love Ministries, 501c3 nonprofit. You can get in contact with Love Ministries on their website, loveministriesbuilds.org. You can stay in contact with Vicki and I on our website, ehewradio.com, and on social media at ehewradio. So, Vicki, thank you so much for being here with us again.
Thank you, guys.
And everyone, have a wonderful week.